Welcome to Motherhood. Whether you're 18 or 80, Dr. Christina Hibbert, clinical psychologist, author, and mother of six, is here to help you through the ups and downs, the joys and frustrations, the new information from experts, and the stories of happiness and heartbreak from real moms. Remember, if you can, tell your mama to listen too.
And I'll make everything all right.
Here's Christy.
Welcome to Motherhood. I'm Dr. Christina Hibbert, here to help you overcome, to become, and to flourish in this interesting experience we call motherhood. Today we're going to be talking about a topic that's kind of a hot one for moms now, which is homeschooling. And if you're like me, you might have thought you'd never think about doing this, but then you might reach a certain point in your life when you realize this might actually be an option for you. We're going to talk today about some of the pros and cons of homeschooling, and really we're going to focus on how to make it work for you and your family, and how to grow alongside your children. As they're learning, you get to learn too. And that's probably one of the biggest benefits of homeschooling, is you get to grow together. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. And first, I just want to thank you for joining us here each week as we do, as we try to grow through motherhood together instead of just going through it. And it's a pleasure to have you with us. And I hope you'll check out my website, drchristinahibbert.com, for other kinds of resources related to what we'll talk about today and as we talk about whatever we talk about each week. And also join us on social media. And if you haven't already, be sure to ask to be added to our Facebook group called Growing Through Motherhood. And all you have to do is ask to be added, and I'll add you in there, and you can join us there to hopefully support one another and form a motherhood community. That's what this show is all about. Now, as I was saying, homeschooling it's a pretty hot topic. It seems like it's grown in popularity over the years, and there's a lot more resources out there. I think it's a lot more in front of our faces than it used to be with social media and that kind of thing. And I, for one, was never had considered it. I have six kids, and I thought, okay, I just can't wait for them to all be in school so I have free time. And instead, one year, we ended up with some changes in the schools here. You know, we had some really great school systems and teachers, and some things changed. And one of my children was really struggling and really having a hard time finding the right fit for her. And it was the first time I started to wonder, could I do this? Would I do this? And if so, how would that work? And so, like I said, you might think you're never going to get into this, but it's certainly good for us to all learn more about so that we have our options open for whatever works right for you and your family. So I want to introduce our guest today, Rachel Rainbolt. Welcome to Motherhood, Rachel.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And I'm so grateful that you wanted to talk about this topic because, like I said, I know it's something that a lot of the moms listening to the show, I know we have many moms who are homeschooling. And as I said, I'm sure there are many more who might consider it or move into that realm in the future. So hopefully we can share some insight today on this topic. And first, let me just tell them a little bit more about you, Rachel. So Rachel Rainbolt is a homeschooling and attachment parenting mother of three. She's got nearly two decades of experience working with young children and parents. She has a master's degree in family therapy. She's a featured parenting expert and media advocate on television and radio. She's published author of parenting books, articles, and curricula, and she's also a certified parent educator with her company, Sage Parenting. And to learn more about her and what she does, you can visit her website, which is sageparenting.com. And actually, you can learn more about her coaching there. She does homeschool coaching, so you can find that at sageparenting.com/homeschool-coaching. And also, she has a Sage homeschooling book that you can find through sageparenting.com/sage-homeschooling-book. And I will have all these links in the description of the show, so you can also just click on the link in the description of the show. That'll be a lot easier. But some great resources. So thanks for talking to us about this, Rachel. And let's just start by talking about homeschooling, the choice to homeschool. And, you know, from your experience working, you know, doing homeschooling yourself and working with other parents in this, what do you find to be some of the biggest questions or obstacles that come when parents are trying to decide, am I going to homeschool or not? How do parents come into this decision, would you say?
That's a great question. I think with homeschooling, unlike other topics, there's so much like misinformation and misunderstandings that you sort of have to work through before you can get to the truth or a more accurate picture of what it's really like to homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much misinformation and a really long history with homeschooling that people have a lot of confusion about what it really looks like. So for a lot of parents, they come to it from a place of, hey, this traditional schooling path is not really helping my child to thrive, and maybe it's not setting us up with a lifestyle that I'm loving. So what are my other options? You know, I'd never really considered this option before. Now I'm starting to consider it. And then sometimes we have parents that are doing like attachment parenting or a really connected style of parenting with their kids when they're younger, and they want to continue that. They can't really imagine just putting their kids in school and leaving them all day every day. Mm-hmm. So we really see like a good mix of people coming to it from both places.
Right. And that, you know, you bring up a great point, which is what are our perceptions of homeschooling? You know, and I think a lot of people do have this kind of skewed perception of what that means and what it looks like. So what would you say in modern day, you know, what is homeschooling kind of, what does it look like? I'm sure it doesn't look the same for every person, but you know, what do you try to educate people? How do you educate people about that?
Yeah, well, there's a really wide variety in how different people homeschool. A lot of people can picture like someone in a classroom at home, you know, kids wearing bonnets or silly things like that,
exactly.
Right?
Okay. Like a homestead or whatever. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. And I'm sure there are some people homesteading out there in bonnets, but for most of us, that's really not what it looks like. For me, I tend to really put a lot of emphasis on experiential learning. So it's more about living a lifestyle of experience and adventuring together and learning together. And so that looks like us, like next week we're leaving for the Pacific Northwest and we're going to be up there for a week. And so we really try and be out and about and growing and exploring. And a lot of our learning, most of it really springs from those types of experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I think we do kind of imagine, okay, I have to have a curriculum and I'm going to be teaching math and I'm going to be teaching this. And it sounds so stressful and it sounds like you have so much to do, but I love your point. And that's one thing that I've realized lately, having friends who've gone the homeschooling path, is that you do have a lot of flexibility in how you can learn together with your children. And these experiences you're talking about are one of the great benefits. I remember meeting up with some friends, you know, kind of for a business thing, but one of the moms that we were meeting up with, she was homeschooling. So she brought her two sons along and they got to come hang out. We were at the pool having a business meeting, but they're like laying by the pool. And, you know, it's like, that's what they got to do for the day. And she takes them to go volunteer and you know, there's lots of different mm-hmm. things they can do because of the flexibility of not having to be in school.
So yeah. Integration is a big part of it. Like mm-hmm. you talked about that integration where, in the traditional schooling mindset, there's like the adult world and then there's like the kid world and then there's like the third grade world and there's, you know, Mrs. Smith's classroom world. And when you're homeschooling, really the entire world is just the world. So my kids sometimes come with me while I teach classes. They help do the accounting for my business to learn math. And how I really help parents to dive into it is to do some soul searching about what type of lifestyle you think your family would thrive in, like what brings you joy, what makes you feel like you're growing as a person, mm-hmm. and you can build the education around that.
Mm, that's a great tip. So figure out for everybody listening, and this is something for all of us to think about, you know, what kind of lifestyle do you want and to build around that and to figure out what you want and what works for you. And again, you know, homeschooling isn't going to look the same for everybody who homeschools, and homeschooling isn't going to work the same for everybody who thinks about it. And, you know, it's maybe not the right option for everybody, but it's definitely good to have our options open. And that all goes back to figuring out what we really want for ourselves and for our kids and for our family, and then going for it, you know, when we're sure of what we want, right?
Yeah. A lot of outside of the box thinking. I think when you are on that mainstream path, it's really a whole life that's been laid out for you. So this is what learning looks like, and this is what working looks like, and this is what family time looks like, and it's all very segmented. Mm-hmm. And so it really does take some outside of the box thinking, some soul searching to really blow open those ideas of what life could be and what your relationships with your children could be and what learning can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And so this whole idea of learning with your children is wonderful. And obviously the experiential part sounds awesome. I've many times thought, now that I have, you know, kids of all ages in all different schools and different schedules and different times and all that, that's another reason why I thought, maybe I should homeschool. Yeah. But I don't know. I probably get too lazy and not actually stay on top of it. But, or they drive me crazy after a while. I'm not sure I could handle it, but still, there is that benefit. But then there's also, there is the learning component. I mean, they do still need to learn certain things, right? So how do you handle that? Or how do you kind of coach parents who are starting in with that and feel overwhelmed by that idea of, oh my gosh, it's all in my hands?
Yeah, I think a big hurdle for people is, and you mentioned the word already, is that teacher word. So a lot of parents have this expectation that they have to be their child's teacher. And this mindset, which comes from traditional public schooling, that you are the receptacle of the world's knowledge, you know, and you have to upload that to all of your children. But that's actually not the way it has to be. I don't really consider myself my children's teacher. I mean, if I had to choose a word, I would say more like a guide, but that's just parenting. Mm-hmm. So basically my role is to connect them with ways for them to feed that passionate curiosity for learning. So I provide materials. I connect them with experiences. I engage them in like invigorating discussion. It's really a lot about like connecting pieces for them and not so much teaching them. So for example, when my son is doing this math curriculum, it's a digital curriculum that he found that he likes a lot. If it's something that he's kind of stuck on, we'll watch it together and figure it out together. So I don't have to know how to do it. And I went through school and he's in fifth grade and I don't know most of the math stuff.
Y'all can relate.
Which brings up an interesting point, right? About how learning should really be contextual and meaningful. And if it is, then it sticks with you. And if you don't continue to use it, then how important is it really? But so I go back and I learn this stuff right alongside them and it helps me to grow too.
That's great. So you're literally relearning the things that you forgot. Yeah. Like, I know I learned that at some point, but we all can relate to that.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Absolutely. And it makes it all collaborative, which gives them a lot more responsibility and motivation and drive because I don't, you know, it's not coercive and I don't pretend to have all of the answers. So if they have a curiosity about something or they notice a gap in their understanding of something, they are motivated and responsible in finding those answers and they can use me as one of many resources that they have at their disposal. And we try and figure things out together.
Sounds fun. And that's, and really, you know, it's interesting because you were mentioning this idea of being your child's teacher or not. And I personally always say that as parents, we are like, that is one of our main jobs is to teach our children things. But, you know, I love how you said you're guiding them, you're showing them, you're making things available to them. And that's what we should be doing anyway as parents. So I love that you're just trying to approach it from a more collaborative point of view. And the idea that you don't have to know everything to be able to help your children learn what they need to learn.
Yes, it's so true. I mean, you have just as much capacity to learn as your children do. So if it's something you would expect your children to be able to learn, then it can certainly be something that you're able to learn as well.
For sure. Hopefully, right?
We never stop learning.
That's right. That's right. And this is certainly a good way to do that. So for those who are getting, like, let's say we have some listeners right now who are thinking about doing this and they're a little bit overwhelmed with the idea of where do I even find a digital math program or how do I even, you know, how do I even start researching what to do? What would you advise them where to begin?
Yeah, that's a really great question too. Gosh, that's a big part of what my Sage homeschooling book is. It's sort of that transition into homeschooling. Mm-hmm. I have also created, like, I have like webinars and challenges and things to help parents launch into it because that launching tends to be the toughest piece, right? It's that biggest hurdle of getting off that mainstream path, sort of jumping through those bushes and finding a new path to walk.
Right.
So when I was making that transition, I read a lot of books. I joined a lot of social media groups to tap into that homeschooling tribe and sort of glean some wisdom from other families who've walked that path before me and see what I can figure out from them. Part of it, too, is that it varies state by state what the requirements are. So that's good to know also. For example, here in California, when we were first starting, we joined a homeschool charter, which helped us figure out which curricula we wanted and helped us to satisfy the legal requirements when we were first starting out, sort of like homeschooling training wheels.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great idea. So there are obviously support groups, organizations, like you say, depending on where you live, maybe a charter like that that can help you get started too.
Yes.
And finding that support. You know, we had a show just a couple of weeks ago about finding our support village. And when we need support as moms, you know, it takes a village to raise a mom too, right?
Mm-hmm.
To find the people that are in the same situations that we are. And you're exactly, you know, pointing to that right here, that find the other parents that are homeschooling, look what they're doing, look what's worked for them and not worked for them, and find that support as well.
And you can see what resonates with you. I think that's a big piece to homeschooling, is because there are so many different shades of it and different flavors of it and different philosophies that different families follow. It's great to just go to a homeschooling meetup and just let your kid play with the other kids and see how the other parents interact with their kids. And you'll notice, and some people call this judgment, but I think judgment gets a real negative connotation, but it can actually be super helpful for our growth and helping us to get to know ourselves and our families, is that you can see things and say, oh, you know, that doesn't feel super right to me, or like it would be the best fit for my kid. You know, what about that? Oh, I love how she did that. I saw how her kid responded, and that was something that I think would work really well for my family. So just being around these other people, you can see what resonates with you and what doesn't. And that can help you to narrow down your focus and set your compass. That's how I like to say it. Set your compass to what your long-term and short-term goals are and how you can move in that direction.
I love that. And we should be doing that as parents anyway.
Exactly. Well, you know, exactly.
So it's good for us either way. That's great. So wonderful. So we have people maybe thinking of starting. What about this one? What about those parents who are considering homeschooling but are worried about their kids, you know, friendships or social interaction or getting to play sports or stuff like that? I know there's a lot of different options nowadays as far as that goes,
yes.
Right? So tell
that
us about that.
Social questions is one, that's the socialization thing is a question that homeschoolers get asked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because the answer I hear consistently from all the homeschoolers is pretty much the same, that it seems so bizarre to us because that forced association of the traditional schooling model is not authentic socialization. So in the I don't only socialize with people who are 33 years old, and I don't only,
right.
What I'm saying?
Right.
Like it's a more natural, authentic socialization that they experience with the actual real world. So instead of preparing them for the real world, they're actually living in the real world. So they are talking to adults and they are having mentorship relationships with people who are interested in the same things that they are, but they might be farther along down that path. Mm-hmm. They are dealing with a difficult person, a museum docent, you know, who disagrees with something that, you know, they have to navigate all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the friendships that they have through all of the homeschool groups and tribes and villages that we connect with, their friendships are so much more authentic because you get that feedback in real time and you're not stuck together. So if a child is unkind, that doesn't help them climb a social ladder. The other kids just don't want to play with you.
Yeah.
You know, the feedback is really instant and it's more authentic and representative of what relationships are like in the real life. Because if I hopped onto this call and you were super mean to me, I wouldn't want to talk to you again.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Whereas in school, if you're partnered with someone and they're mean, you're stuck. You know, they might be really cruel to you. Like studies show that bullying is virtually non-existent in mixed age groups of children.
Wow.
And that's something that's consistent with what I see a lot too. It just brings out leadership qualities in older children and caretaking instincts. And then the younger ones get all these role models. So socialization tends to be a lot more natural.
Yeah. Well, that's such a great point because obviously when you're going out and you're seeing the world, you're engaging with people all the time. It's just not in the same traditional way. And your kids still have their friends and their friendships mm-hmm. and they can still participate in activities. I mean, I know my kids go to a charter school. It's a junior high school. And we have a lot of kids who are homeschooled that participate in the sports programs through the school.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you don't have to miss out on even that anymore, right?
And there are so many extracurriculars that are outside of schools.
Yeah.
Like my eldest son is really into music. He plays the ukulele, the guitar, the piano, the drums. He's in a rock band program. He takes private music lessons with a mentor. He gets together for like music competitions and things. So there are all kinds of ways that you can socialize. We have book club that we do once a month with a homeschooling group. We have Hack School, which is like our homeschool adventure club. So there are really all sorts of different ways that you can get that connection and those extracurricular activities. I help teach a Krav Maga class that my two children take with me, you know, so all sorts of different things you're really not limited by the school setting in terms of what extracurriculars you can tap into. If anything, you have more options because there's a limited list at each school.
That's right. That's right. That's great. So for parents who are thinking about starting this and worried about preparation and being prepared and knowing what to do and having the routine and the schedule, what do you have to say to those parents who are considering?
I think that for most families, a period of what a lot of people call de-schooling really tends to work out the best, where you take a set period of time, maybe it's a month, where you have no agenda. So you don't try to force anything on your children, and you get to know them and they get to know themselves better. So without everyone controlling when they do what and what they learn and how they learn it, allow them some free time and use some free time to just get to know each other in a more natural setting and in a more natural way and see what helps each child to thrive. Because it's so different from child to child. And then you base your plan moving forward on that.
Mm, that's a great idea. So not rushing into it, not feeling like, oh my gosh, I have to have this total program set.
Because if you don't do a curricula for one day, you'll never learn how to read.
Right, no, exactly. The well, then you're just moving from one system to another system without actually making the changes that you need. So yeah, and you're right. Your point is so important, you know, that each child is so different. They're going to learn differently. So what works for one might not work for another. And you know, you probably have to get creative as you go along and work with the child's needs and skills and strengths. And
exactly. Then, yeah. And what works for you, too. You get to factor in what helps you to thrive as a mother, too.
Yeah.
So, for example, I'm more of an extrovert. So I wouldn't do well if I was in the house all day, every day, day after day. That's not really my style. And so I factor that into our learning and how we learn and how we learn different subjects and where we learn them and with who we learn them. So it is collaborative, and that includes like the parent and what works really well for you.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And that's really important. We talk a lot about that here on the show, you know, taking care of ourselves and self-care and this goes for homeschooling too. It's a big adventure and it's a big commitment, and you have to be ready yourself and you have to take care of yourself in the process so you don't burn out as well.
Exactly.
Well, that's great. And so, well, let me ask you about that because I'm just curious. So how do you, like, what kind of advice would you give for homeschooling mothers to take care of themselves, to find some time that's for them, you know, so they don't feel like they're always on as, you know, in that homeschool role? Or do you differentiate, or do you just kind of naturally find, you know, your own self-care in the process, or what?
Bingo. I think one of the biggest advantages to this is that it is a lifestyle and it is collaborative and you are the role model. So as opposed to having to be a teacher X amount of hours and a mother, you know, these hours, you are living a life and you are role modeling for your children things like self-care and personal growth and all of that. So like I mentioned how I help to teach my kids Krav Maga class, that's because I do Krav Maga. I practice it. I train in it two nights a week.
So tell us what that is first.
Sorry. It's sort of like self-defense.
Oh, awesome. Okay. I figured it was something like that, but yeah.
It's like combat training, self-defense kind of, which seems uncharacteristic, but it's great physical fitness. Like, so keeping my body healthy and being empowered and helping to protect myself. And so that's like a piece of physical care that I incorporate. Singing is something that I love doing. So I like to, since my sons also are interested in music, we make videos together, like of us where we work on songs, we musically arrange them. You know, that incorporates something that I enjoy doing as well. I take a bath by myself every night. It's like built into our routine.
That's great.
Yeah, like the little things when they're babies, they're in the bath with me. And then as they get older, they are off playing with the brood of boys, and I get to soak in the bath every night. So there are all sorts of different things, but it doesn't feel like a chore. You know, it feels like just a part of our lives, just like they get time to do the things that help to nourish them. I get the same.
Right. And I love, this is a really important point for everybody listening. You know, you're talking about role modeling personal growth, role modeling health and self-care and wellness and whatever else we do. And that goes for all of us. I mean, that is an important part, but for you, it sounds like it's such a conscious part of your everyday interactions with your children. Whereas a lot of us moms, I think we are so separated with that we feel like we have to be, quote, taking care of them all the time. And so we can't take care of ourselves. But they do. They still watch and they see us and they see that we're burned out and they see that we're exhausted and they see that we didn't take the bath alone when we needed it. And they learn to do the same. So, you know.
Yeah. And learning is the same. Yeah, so we treat learning the same way that we treat physical fitness or eating healthy or having time to rest. Yeah. It's sort of all the same thing. Like if I'm trying to do something and I don't have the answer, my kids will see me find an answer and practice it and fail and stumble and learn from my mistakes and try again and read a book about it and talk to somebody who knows more about it than me and do some practice of it. Like they see me doing all of those same things. So I get to grow personally, you know, right alongside them while they're using that role model, excuse me, as a template to work through their own growth.
Right. No, and that, I think that's wonderful, you know, and we all should be doing that, whether we're homeschooling or not. But you, like you say, it just kind of all becomes the same kind of learning. It's not school learning and home learning. And,
exactly.
You know, and I think that's a great suggestion for all of us to consider too, is just integrating more, you know, all the different components of our life. You know, in my recent book, I wrote a whole chapter on exercising as a family, and I love what you're talking about. And why don't we just naturally do that? You know, it just seems like exercising as a family and being healthy as a family and learning as a family and traveling as a family.
Yes.
You know?
So, for example, just the other day we were bike riding through this canyon that leads to this waterfall. We were talking about how, like, a forest ecosystem, how fires can be healthy, because we saw something that was burned and we found a lizard that was like darker in color. So we talked about like adaptations and natural selection. And so it's sort of all one thing, you know, it's like science and exercise and family time. And, you know, my husband and I are kissing behind a tree and, you know, it's just sort of all one big life that's all integrated together.
Yeah, I love that. So would you say, there's a lot of positives we've heard. So what would you say is one of the hardest parts about homeschooling?
Probably one of the hardest parts about homeschooling is that you can get isolated if you're not reaching out to people. Mm-hmm. So like you talked about how you had a show recently about connecting with the village and the tribe. Mm-hmm. With traditional public schooling, you sort of don't have a choice in the sense that you're at least physically in proximity to people.
Yeah.
Whereas with your homeschooling, you have to actually reach out to people. So, for example, like my whole business, that's a big part of how I connect with people while I'm homeschooling, because I'm going into people's homes and helping them to connect with their kids and helping them to be their best selves. And through experiences like this, that's helping me to connect. And I have friends, you know, that we get together with, and they have kids. So you have to actively reach out.
Yeah. Right. It's not just set up for you, maybe naturally.
Like, right.
Like, and you said it, but it's also not forced in the same way. You don't,
positive
is you don't have to associate with people you don't want to necessarily.
Exactly.
We all have had those experiences of our kids who have that one kid that's driving them crazy in their class.
And, yep.
Or the teacher that's, you know, not the right fit for them or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, and that's where I do think that this, I think that's why this is such a growing part of parenting, homeschooling, is because we need more options, you know, we don't need to just be pigeonholed into the one, because our kids are so unique and their needs are so different. And so it's great to have our options open.
Yeah. And options open for lifestyle too. Like a lot of people think you have to be a full-time parent to homeschool. Completely not true. You know, a lot of people think that you have to have an advanced degree to homeschool. Not true. So if you can parent your child, then you can homeschool your child, because it's just a continuation of that parenting relationship full-time into the school age years.
Yeah, that's right. Very good. Great. So, okay, as we're wrapping up here, do you have any other last bits of wisdom that you would want parents to know about homeschooling that we didn't get to talk about?
Just that I think that people get so intimidated, you know, by all those things, that those common misconceptions and things. But it's really just about creating a life that you love and about being the kind of parent you want to be and helping your child to be the kind of child that you want them to be in terms of living up to their potential and teaching them, you know, to be self-sufficient and to be driven and to keep that passionate love of learning intact. So it's less about all the shoulds and should nots and trying to fit from one box to another box. Mm-hmm. There's just no box. You just get to be the parent you want to be and create the life you want.
I love it. I love it. So don't stress about it. Just focus on what you want versus all of the things that you think should, quote,
yes,
unquote,
don't try and tick boxes. Just try to create a lifestyle you love, and then you can weave the learning into that.
Wonderful. And I think that's great advice for all of us, whether you're going to be homeschooling or not. We should do a lot more of that in our lives anyway. It'd make us a lot happier as moms, I think. So thank you, Rachel Rainbolt, for being here with us today to talk about this. I really appreciate all your advice and wisdom on it.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And I hope everybody will check out your website again to remind you. It's sageparenting.com. That's S-A-G-E. And you can find out again more about her homeschool coaching there. You can find her homeschooling book there. You can also use the links that'll be in the description for the show today to get there as well and check all that out. And for everybody else, thank you for joining us here each week to grow through motherhood with me. It's such a pleasure to do it with each other and to do it together as we do here each week on Motherhood Radio. I hope to see you next time. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.